freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive every episode at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Ah, we stink, man.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
No way!
Well, here's another Brock and Salk podcast coming right down the pike for you, Brock. Day after a Seahawks game, something we don't get to do all the time, at least for our recording. I don't know when you're listening to this. Could be anytime. Who the heck knows? It's out in the ether somewhere. Could be, next year. But not for you. For you, it's still right now.
Logging on to Pod Bay, checking it out.
I wish the Seahawks would just make it obvious. Would that kill them to just make it obvious what kind of team they are? Like, are you a good team? Are you a bad team? Are you a great team? Because they refuse to make anything easy to comprehend. There's such, which I guess makes them a great radio and conversation topic, because you really can argue any which way about them. You can watch that Eagles win and say, okay, they dominated that game. Their defense came alive. The outcome was never really in doubt. They played fairly clean. They did what they needed to do. No turnovers, got one when they needed it. And they just kind of cruised to an easy victory on the road, 3,000 miles away in prime time in the NFL. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Correct.
On the other hand, that Philadelphia team is atrocious.
Oof.
Their offense is not even college quality. I mean, it's awful. Carson Wentz looks like the guy who wasn't invited to go to one of the real schools. Like, where did he go to college again? Delaware, Dakota?
Don't hate on the Bison.
Where did he go again?
North Dakota State.
Don't hate on the Bison.
Yeah, that's an FCS school, right?
National champions.
He looked like a guy who was invited to go to an FCS school.
Mm.
And I don't say that. I mean, look, I wasn't invited to go to an FCS school or anything to play football, but like, he looked like a guy who the Power 5 conferences were like, yeah, we're good. And he showed it playing in that game. So it just they just never make anything quite obvious, because they had every opportunity to put that game away, Brock, and just didn't seem to want to.
Well, I part of me says, welcome to 2020. I mean,
where nothing is obvious.
Correct.
Where there's two sides to every story.
Yeah, pretty much. pretty much. And save for Kansas City and Pittsburgh, I think the other 30 teams probably all fall into that. Who the heck are the Rams? Are the Rams a team that beat the Seahawks and just physically punched them in the face and then went down and beat Tampa Bay and, man, looked like the best team in the NFC? Or are they the team that loses to Miami and San Francisco? Who in the heck are the Cardinals? Who are these guys that they got one of the most dynamic young quarterbacks in the league and can blitz?
Yeah, but that makes sense. Got Hold on Baker a second, and, though. But some of that makes sense.
And who are the 8-2 Saints that are the number one seed in the NFC? Like, is that the best roster in the NFC?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I get what you're saying. You're right. There is a lot. I mean, there always is in the NFL.
Who's Green Bay? I mean, I've seen Green Bay three times. Green Bay, you know, looks like, man, that offense is unstoppable. And then they go and get beat by Minnesota and Tampa Bay and, you know, have three losses
as Brock,
well.
But, Brock, some of that is just the way the NFL goes, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, there's always, you know, any given Sunday and all that. And teams can look different from week to week. I think in Arizona's case, I mean, look, that's just a young team with a young quarterback that's on the rise. They're not quite there yet, and they got a kind of a bad head coach. But you can see that they have the talent, and they're going to be kind of week to week. The thing about the Seahawks is, like, they look different almost from possession to possession. And when they do things, it's really hard to, like, their defense dominated that game, right?
First half.
But overall, I mean, if you look at the whole game, I know they gave up some yards in the second half, but overall, they dominated that game. And yet, when you're, I don't even have to watch the film. I can just see what Brian Griese and the Monday Night crew is showing me. There were wide open players everywhere that the god-awful quarterback on the other side just missed. So did they actually have a much better game, or did they look exactly the same as they've been for the first 9 games?
Yeah.
They just, you know, didn't have a quarterback who could take advantage of it.
Yep.
How do I know?
Welcome to the NFL. I mean, I would equally say right back at you that, I mean, that is this league, and you have got to feast when the food is there to eat in front of you, like you did for the last 4, 5, 6, 7 days, Salk. God, I don't know.
It's disgusting.
I mean, how many calories?
It's disgusting what I've done.
I was following you on Twitter, bro. I'm a little worried.
Well,
was Thanksgiving a 10,000 calorie day?
Oh, easy. I can't tell you how much I ate over the course of Thanksgiving.
Now, did you add any drink to it, though?
Yes.
Oh,
but the biggest part was like the I mean, so we did cheese ahead of time, cheese and crackers and shrimp cocktail and all that stuff ahead. Heather was really nice. She knows that often. I know people find this gross, but I love chopped liver, liver pate.
Always have.
So she bought me a little bit of liver pate.
So she even Heather won't eat that?
She won't eat it, but she bought it for me, which is really nice. I didn't eat it all that day.
Well, if you had a cat, the cat would eat it with you.
Exactly. Wendell won't eat. Wendell sniffs at it. He's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going back to bed. But then, yeah, the rolled turkey was as good as you would expect.
Yeah, that looked
prosciutto was in there, and you don't really taste the prosciutto itself. It just sort of flavors the turkey.
Yeah.
It was one of the best turkies I've ever had.
Wow.
And Pepperidge Farm stuffing, right? You know, did the right song.
Do we have a little wine, too?
Well, I mean, anyway, the there was a lot. And then there was the Tom Douglas coconut cream pie for dessert.
Oh, saw that.
Right. Yeah. And then the cranberry sauce and everything else. But then on Saturday, like, I, by the way, went back for like leftovers while all still full. I was feeling disgusting. And I was like, I know, but I'm putting these away. I might as well just eat some more. And then I went back and started eating. But then Saturday, we were going to do a Friday, but we weren't ready. Saturday, we added the sweet potato casserole, Brock. Wow. It's like a whipped sweet potato with like a maple.
Like you just made that on its own.
Yes. Made it on Saturday. To add to the leftovers.
Wow.
What do you think of that move?
That's hot.
It is, right? It's like bringing out like your 100-mile-an-hour reliever in the eighth. Like, dude, I don't even wait for the ninth. I just bring this guy in now and mow you down.
Is that it? Oh, yeah. You're describing yourself more like Fernando Rodney-esque right now. Not
me?
Like the 100-mile-an-hour Stephen Pryor, Carter Capps guy.
It's true. Kind of like, all over the map.
It sounds like you're not feeling so hot. I don't know.
But you feasted, and the Seahawks feasted. And that is the league. When you have opportunities, the New Orleans Saints get to play a team without a quarterback. Guess what you do? You feast on it. You don't apologize. You dominate it. When you have Carson Wentz, who is broken right now, whose offensive line in front of him is as bad as some of those Seahawk lines were a few years ago, where everything is a sieve, and he is letting it affect him, unlike Russell, who kind of persevered through it, you can see that Wentz, just his body language, his confidence, everything is just in a state of brokenness, then you got to feast on it and you've got to take advantage of it. And that's what they did. And you may have Colt McCoy the following weekend and have the opportunity to do the same to him and Sam Darnold or Joe Flacco, whoever's playing for the, right? I mean,
Colt McCoy scare the daylights out of you? I know we're getting ahead of ourselves,
no.
But he is the type of quarterback that presents a lot of problems.
I watched him a little bit. I was watching some of that game on Sunday.
Not good.
It'll good.
All right.
He did not look good. He didn't look like the Colt McCoy even from a few years ago.
I'm picturing like a Brett Hundley, Nick Mullins, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I know.
He is right in that ilk. Matt Schaub.
But he doesn't have
these guys are trouble.
He doesn't have the weapons those guys have. And so he just sits back there and is like, ow. It looked bad. I felt bad because you know I like Colt. It didn't look good for him back there. Not at all. Good. Sorry.
Can you look at Colt McCoy and not see Lisa Salters? Because
no.
I can't.
Nope, because that made me so mad when I saw it. Like, I'm still mad about it.
When he was playing
Siamese twin
she was,
that
like,
I just
making
see
stuff
her
up.
Stuck to him.
I know. I totally feel the same way. So,
what did
yeah,
she
you're
say?
Right.
Like, did you quit? What did you, do you remember?
I forget what she said.
The way she framed that to him, like, did you shut it down on your team? Like, what?
So he was like, no. And yeah, it was one of those questions where it's like the assumption is
correct.
Like, it was like, why did you quit on your team? Or like, when did you quit on your team?
When did you decide to walk out on your teammate?
What? I'm trying to get in there. My shoulder's broken. Give me a break. Gosh. Yeah. So,
I think to kind of go back, what do we learn? What does that victory do? You just bank it. Remember the first 5 weeks, man? You just bank these wins. And these are opportunities as you're just in the grind of this season in particular. This 2020 wacko season of virtual practice, of no meetings, of who knows what's coming down the pipe any single moment of every single day. So you just got to take advantage of that moment when it presents itself. And to me, if the win versus Arizona was courageous, that's kind of how I labeled it. I thought it was a courageous win without your running back, without your corner, without your lineman, without your tight end, without a lot of pieces. It was a courageous effort. This one was just straight workmanlike. It just felt like, hey, here's the work in front of us. And we know what we got to do, and we got to take advantage of this opponent when it's there, and they did.
Yeah, I think there was some of that. And by the way, if that game is not officiated the way it is, they might win by a whole lot more. I mean, it was, and I know that the refs made mistakes. I thought on both sides of it, there were a bunch of bad calls. But I will say that that's
interference. That's or the
intentional
grounding.
That's one of the worst missed calls I've ever seen in any sport.
How do you even explain that?
I just don't understand. Brock, you've been a ref.
You famously got goosebumps and when you put on the strap.
And weren't, you know what? Wasn't your job to be right on the line of scrimmage?
I want to tell you, I looked for that penalty flag.
Oh, you
I still, if you want me to send the shirt, like if that would be cool.
No, just
Cecily,
the flag. She's only obsessed with the
flag. I looked
for
it. I don't think it made it. Yeah, I can't find it anywhere.
But didn't you do the job where you were right on the line of scrimmage?
Yes.
Okay, so that guy.
It's called the head linesman.
The head linesman. Well, it's
second
not called
most
that
important
anymore.
To the referee.
It's not called the head linesman anymore.
Oh, really?
No.
Lines person.
It's not even called that. It's like there's the line judge, and on the other side is the
line
side
captain?
Judge now or something. Like they've changed the name because there's so many. There's a bunch of female officials, so it's no longer called the head linesman. But
all right,
that guy's standing literally on the line of scrimmage.
He's straddling the line of
scrimmage. At the end of the play, too, not just at the beginning of the play.
By design.
At the end of the play, you're still standing there, right? You don't move, Brock?
Not necessarily.
Well, he didn't move.
Oh, he didn't move?
Not
he
on that play.
Not
because
move
when the ball gets
inch.
Thrown over the sideline, you can see him straddling the one for first down.
And looking to his left.
It's bizarre.
Behind the line of scrimmage.
So clearly the ball doesn't get to the line of scrimmage. How does that official not walk? Is he just so weak and pathetic and embarrassed that he can't walk over to the referee and say, excuse me, there's no way in God's green earth that that ball made it to the line of scrimmage.
So they all have little headsets, okay? So they can talk to each other now. So they don't have to, right? That's been in play the last few years. It has sped up things, so they don't have to run together.
And on the previous possession, the Seahawks were called flag for intentional grounding in the end zone.
Yes.
And Brian Griese made a huge deal about how all the refs communicate on intentional
John
grounding.
John Perry came on
they
to talk about it.
They all get together to discuss intentional grounding.
But
not that guy.
No.
Here's what happened.
That guy's like
Stradler.
The gimp. He can't talk.
No, here's what happened. Hey, you know what? It didn't make it, but it's 14-0.
What?
It'd be 3rd and 35.
Stop it. There's no way that happens.
It's the only explanation.
No way that happens. No.
Yes.
No.
Yep.
No and no.
Yep.
No, this is a by the letter of the law. This isn't holding where you could call it on any play.
Yep.
It specifically has to get back to the line of scrimmage. That is a mark. Like, there's a line there.
There is
a little judgment.
Hold on a second.
Not a judgment call. First of all, should be able to review it.
But there's a little gray area. They do give you a yard. They usually give you
about 3 yards.
Yeah, it was 3 yards.
It wasn't close.
No, that's almost 10 feet.
Come on.
And not just that.
No. No.
The ball was caught. It didn't like bounce and skip around. So like, we really don't know where it crossed.
Right.
It was bouncing around in there. No, it was caught.
By a guy who was also behind the line.
It went out of bounds.
Correct.
It was no doubt.
Correct. It should have been whatever, 2nd and 40.
Yes. And then you probably
and then
would
you
don't
make
get another possession
14-0.
Before the half.
Now, the downside of that, let's be clear, that happens. Let's say they call it. And they don't score before the half. Maybe the Seahawks even score again. Do you then see Jalen Hurts in the second half?
You might have.
And could he have done better? And they might have come roaring back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it helped them. Maybe it was a way of helping the Seahawks.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You don't know.
Butterfly effect.
Well, I mean, the thing is, we can spend most of that time kind of talking about the defense and whether or not what they did. I mean, because obviously they looked better and the results were better and they got to the quarterback and they did everything we kind of wanted them to do. The offense, is that Eagles defense okay?
They're pretty good.
Okay, no, so that's not like a, they're not as bad as the offense, right?
No.
I mean, that was a team that was in the playoffs last year, and a lot of that was because of the defense, right?
Yes.
They lead
and
the league.
Fletcher
and
Cox can take games over, and Brandon Graham's a very good player, and I think Jalen Mills at safety has found a home, and Darius Slay, even though DK totally dominated him, is one of the better corners in the league. So, no, they've got kind of pieces at every level of that defense, and they played hard. I mean, they played their butts off.
They have to.
They knew what they had offensively, and they're still in the race, and they're not shutting it down. And, yeah, those dudes teed off, and, you know, you had some backups for Seattle on the O-line. Boy, he can't play, and they took advantage.
Okay. So you think it's just that? Like, that wasn't a terrible performance by the offense. It was more just that Philly's defense pretty good?
I mean, you're going to see the Giants' defense pretty good. The Washington football team's front four, one of the top five in the league. Like, you're still going to see some pretty good teams and defenses, and you're not going to put up 500 yards. And when you're going to play, you know, I know we'll get into this a little bit more with what we know versus what we think, but, you know, when you play the game against your opponent, And we have seen this for 9 years. You play to win. I don't play to put up stats. I'm going to play to win this game. And Russell's governor, the last couple weeks, has come back. His risk taking is back to there was not one ball put anywhere near harm's way at all.
There were a lot of balls not put anywhere near even a receiver.
Oh, stop!
Sorry.
Still 22 of 31.
I know. No, he was fine, but he just didn't quite look like Russ, and that's okay. He's not going to look. He just looked a little slow. I thought again.
Bro, he had 15,000 calories Thursday.
I know.
Sierra made this sweet potato. Sweet potato casserole. Yep. That they took on the plane.
I understand. I felt slow too. Mine had marshmallows on the top too. The marshmallows get all melted in there.
I mean, he was cooking. Did you see his mac and cheese?
No.
Oh, you didn't see the commercial that he made of him cooking and the whole Let Russ Cook, and he got to make mac and cheese with a chef. And I mean, that mac and cheese, bro, got some.
Looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, he turned 32, and it's like all of a sudden he couldn't walk.
Like, oh, come on.
Last week he's making spin moves and stuff. This week he had a guy in the open field and just like, good.
It's Thanksgiving, bro.
Just tackle me. I'm all set here. But you're right. The governor is back on, which I prefer, and he's playing, you're right. Balls aren't in harm's way, which means they don't turn it over, and that's a great way to beat a team like the Eagles. I also thought that a lot of the decision-making – And even their some of their strategy was built around the fact that Eagles offense was so bad.
Yes.
I know Jake Heaps on Jake and Stacey's been really upset that, they were running the ball so much at the end. It's like, just three runs into the line of scrimmage, whatever. But I think that at that point, honestly, if you're the Seahawks, the clock is more important than anything else, even with like 7 minutes left.
Yes.
Because the Eagles are that bad. Just run out the clock. Don't make a mistake. Don't put the ball in harm's way. Don't turn it over, and you're going to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, if you want stats and you want touchdowns and you want to take a little risk and you want Russ to end the game not with one touchdown pass but with three, and all of a sudden, start to have some stats that start him in that conversation again or get him back in a race, and unfortunately it feels like he's out of now, that it is Mahomes, it is Aaron Rodgers, and you're just not going to put up the – if you want numbers, then you keep throwing it. If you want to win – and just eat up the clock and go 8-3 and sit right back on top of the NFC West, then you play the game the way they did.
Yeah. Well, they did. And they win it. And now you're right, back on top in the NFC West, and with a bunch of games now against teams that, you shouldn't lose to them, right? I mean, you shouldn't lose to the Giants. You should never lose to the Jets. You shouldn't lose to Washington.
Washington will be a tough game.
But you shouldn't lose to them. And it'll be a tougher game. I mean, come on. You should be able to beat that team. And then you take your chances in the last two games of the year against a Niners team that's up and down and a Rams team that looks like, the 72 Dolphins against you, but like mortal against everyone else. So they did what they needed to do. They didn't make it obvious in any way. We didn't learn a lot about them, I don't believe, in the Philadelphia game, but they banked the win and they move on. Let me ask you a question. How many nights is too many nights to have turkey in a row?
Well, don't you build up a tryptophan like I have in my nostrils with all my COVID tests? I feel like now my eyes don't even water.
Okay.
Stick that thing up to my skull and I'm fine.
So you have build immunity.
Like a tryptophan resilience?
Maybe. So made the turkey Thursday for Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. Today we are recording this on Tuesday. I have had turkey every night since.
Take it easy, Mike.
I had turkey Thursday, Friday for lunch and dinner, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So I'm on 5 straight nights of having turkey.
So when you found run a out?
I still have
turkey.
A ton.
No, you took advantage. You saw a
nobody else in my family eats it.
No, you saw a market inefficiency in all the big fat turkeys because no one could gather.
No.
You're like, dude, I get a 30-pound turkey this year.
The truth of this is, it was just a turkey breast, right? That you roll up. I think I told you about it.
Yeah.
So Heather brought one home, and it was like 2.5 pounds.
Too small.
I was like, I don't know if that's going to do it. I mean, the recipe says 4. I don't think that's going to be enough. So she goes back to the butcher and gets another one. But I thought she was going to exchange it or something. No. So then he gives her like a 3.5. So now all of a sudden we have like 6 pounds of turkey, which is way too much. One of them didn't even get close. I mean, I just finished the leftovers on the one we had started eating. The other one is now just onto the other one. So it's been probably too much turkey. If you are in the same spot where you've been eating turkey now for just too long, why don't you let Ascend Prime take care of you? Okay, it's the solution for an event or a party, holiday get together, anything you might be able to pull off this year, or just a little at-home dining. Ascend Prime in Bellevue, they got seasonal menu items and a world-class team. Some of the best food that you can possibly, I mean, A+. A+ restaurant, when you can go there, the view is just absurd, especially with the kind of weather we've been having recently, clear weather and all that, just looking out over the whole city. But the food is out of control between the sushi and the steak and, you know, all of the side dishes, everything that goes with it. Really, really A+. So catered dining, you can do convenient no-touch pickup and delivery. They got complimentary customized single-use menus, health team members who take their temperature every single day, and the whole, it's, they've got it all done. So find yourself at ascendprime.com. If you're sick of turkey, sick of eating your own cuisine, and you need to eat something to cleanse the palate and get yourself going again, ascendprime.com. All right, Brock, here is a little something different. We are going to go through what we know versus what we think. Peter King used to do what the, or 10 things I think. He didn't even think them.
No.
They were just things he thought.
He was very noncommittal.
Right, exactly.
I didn't even say I think that.
Right. He was like, and that's even before social media came to destroy you for everything you said.
Yeah, like,
he
was all not getting me.
He was already distancing himself from what he thought. All right, so things we know versus things we think. You got it?
Yeah, I think I do, and I sure love your list. Yours was awesome.
I worked hard on this.
I'll try to add on, but man, yours was solid.
I think we know that DK Metcalf has come into his own. Are we ready to state that DK Metcalf has come into his own? I am. I know it.
Yes.
He's leading the league in receiving yards. He is dropping touchdowns. He is ticking off every cornerback that plays against him. He's gotten flags against them for punching him in consecutive games. He's kind of got the like mystique going with the like the binky, and then like this whole idea that Jim Schwartz talked trash. I'm not convinced any of that is true. I'm guessing that Jim Schwartz went over to him and was like, "Hey man, you might not be Megatron yet, but you're on your way. I was with that guy. He's a great player. You're getting there." And DK heard like, yep, "You aren't Megatron," and decided to not only like use it to get him excited, which is fine, but also to then tell the world about it to embarrass Jim Schwartz.
And his tweet afterwards was perfect. Yeah. With the Michael Jordan meme of, I took that personally.
He's got everything it takes to be a premier wide receiver.
No question. And when you are dictating, right, back to like 10 years ago when we started the show, started talking about football.
We start talking about about number one wide receivers, game-changing wide receivers.
Number one wide receiver.
Yes.
That's right.
He dictates coverage.
You get the focus. Yes, he is dictating all the coverage. You get the focus, number one, when whatever that defensive coordinator is that starts the game plan, says, okay, what are we going to do about this guy? How do we handle the number four guy in their lineup that can hit home runs? How do we handle Mike Trout? How do we handle Barry Bonds? How do we handle this guy? You know, are we going to put Jalen Ramsey on him? We're going to put Darius Slay on him. We're going to roll coverage. What are we going to do? Because this guy can't beat us. And that is the, you know, you talk about kind of the perception and the big picture, which you're absolutely right, but just the nitty gritty and the X's and O's, he is making a point to everybody he plays against that he's the number one on this team and becoming, you know, one of the number ones of number ones in this entire league. Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, he's come into his own. I feel very confident that I know that this is just who he is. And the drops kind of go along with it, right? Like the occasional, like he's up in the air, you think he's going to make the great play, or like last week when the ball hit him square in the face mask, but he didn't seem to let them bother him. And I think that's part of what makes him the number one wide receiver. Yeah, he's not going to be perfect. Nobody is. But the way that doesn't affect him and he comes back and makes another incredible play soon afterwards, That's number one wide receiver stuff. That's a guy coming into his own.
How about when the D tackle Malik Jackson comes and cheap shots him? It's not just the corners.
Oh, yeah.
And the safeties, right? He's made such a point and such an emphasis, and that's tape, man. That is those defensive guys watching tape, watching him maul people, watching him come down and crack people. And that was even a defensive lineman saying, "Hey, man, if I get a shot, I'm gonna
sure
take it."
Well, the other dude went like for a knockout blow on him on the first play of the game or so. DK just like, whatever, dude. He just bounced off him like he's a tight end. I mean, he's huge. It's fun. He's really fun. And the fact that they got him with the last pick in the second round, I think, just makes it even better. So I think we know, or in fact, I know that DK Metcalf has come into his own. I think their offensive line, Brock, is better than the last few years, but it sure seems to be moving backwards a little bit.
Yes.
What's going on with the O-line?
Yeah, a few moving pieces. Right, Ethan Posick finally comes back into the fold, but third center in 3 weeks. And so you start right in the middle, and that makes an impact. And that is a difference. It's a difference in communication and everything else. So he finally gets back in the fold. Damian Lewis is a rookie, and there's going to be some ups and downs. And when you're playing Fletcher Cox and in that group, that's a good group. That's an above average group, probably a top 10 defensive line in the league that is fired up. That's not easy. And then, Brandon Schell was having a nice year, and you see the difference. I mean, oh boy, he looked like, gosh, who was the, and we brought up his name a couple weeks ago too. Who was the Gary Gilliam? Oh boy, he looked exactly like Gary Gilliam last night.
That shirt untucked. He just looked like he lost out there.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Everything. Not good.
That was a first round pick.
Yeah, I mean, just was kind of out of the league for.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I can see why. Where was Jamarco Jones, your boy?
He must have been beat up, nicked up. I don't know. Can't explain it.
Do we see him? I couldn't remember. Ayupati went out for a couple plays. I didn't see who came in there. But Pete was asked post game, did you consider Jamarco Jones? And Pete just said,
yes. But I thought it meant like sort of that, like Pete with the twinkle in his eye. Like, I always consider everybody. Like, Joe Fan asked him.
Like, you asked me a yes or no question. I give you a yes or no.
Did you consider him?
I have to give you no more information.
Yes, of course I did.
We considered
it. Did you consider going with Geno Smith? Yes. I considered it and then said no. Are you crazy?
When Dwayne Brown is at left tackle, Jordan Simmons is at left guard, Ethan Posick is at center, Damian Lewis is at right guard, and Brandon Schell is at right tackle. That is an above-average offensive line in this league.
By the way, you go Simmons over Upati?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Upati gets hurt every single game of every single moment. Like, I just
well, can't be fair. The guy knocked his helmet off, and he's like,
he knocks his helmet off, then he gets hurt late in the game. Like, the guy is just constantly. It's just hurt.
It's been ever since Cam Chancellor nearly ended him.
Yes. I think I go Simmons, and I think I go Posick, and then obviously Schell is. Just an enormous upgrade over Oboihe last night.
Oh boy, I mean, it looked like last year when you just had Jermaine Ifedi over there, and you're like, it doesn't matter what else you do, this one guy is just going to get beat every time. So, well, I hope it's just that. I hope it's injuries, because Russ just just for the last few weeks hasn't had that same clean pocket, and the running game wasn't particularly impressive either, and I think those two things are related. Speaking of the running game, Brock, you tweeted it, the words are perfect. Chris Carson, we know, is a grown man.
Goodness gracious.
Grown man.
The handoff inside to Carson. He finds a hole across the 10, down to the 5. He's driving. He's driving. He's in. Touchdown, Seahawks. Chris Carson. Holy smoke. Carried half of the Eagles defense on his back and scores. The Seahawks go up 13-0. Beautiful hole for Carson up the middle, and he was off to the races, and then it was all Chris Carson's second, third, and fourth effort.
That was right after the garbage intentional grounding call against Ross, right?
Yes.
Or was it after a hold? No, it was after one of those. I don't know, but they just moved back.
It was the intentional. The other one was the hold that Carson scored on, and a boy he had held.
Okay, fair enough. Yes, you're right. So that was right after the intentional ground. And that was my favorite run he's had since the one against the Niners, where he was down and then he wasn't down, and he just kept driving himself into the end zone. Same type of thing. He's just carrying dudes for the last 4.5 yards.
It's just, he's one of the most unique backs in this league. He's not Derrick Henry, because Derrick Henry is available.
No one is.
Yes, every single week. But he is probably, he is way, way up there. There is not five fingers.
In terms of power backs.
How many guys just not wanting to tackle?
Right.
I don't want to tackle this guy. This hurts. Right, it's cold. It's late in the year. I got to take COVID tests every year. I don't even get to meet with guys. I don't even get to go out afterwards. Like, this is hard. This isn't a lot of fun. And then I got the big old 32 coming, 235 pounds running at that force. Like, I don't want any part of that. Let me just act like I do, and maybe jump on his back and try to corral him. I mean, he's just a different dude.
He carried that team into the end zone.
Yes, he did.
I love runs like that. You don't see too many of them. I mean, again, there aren't that many running backs who do that these days. It's him. It's Derrick Henry does it for sure.
I think Kareem, not Kareem Hunt, the Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb?
Yes. Nick Chubb has some of that capability and some of it, by the way,
I know.
Have you seen Nick Chubb in high school?
No.
the meme going around last week?
No.
Yes, in the track and field championships?
Yes.
You were talking about a grown man.
Yes.
He just dwarf everybody around him?
Yes, like hilariously.
He looks like he belongs in the NFL. And
he looked like Ben Johnson on steroids, yes, in 88.
The thing is, that's what Derrick Henry looks sometimes. He looks like that in the NFL.
There's that, was it the national championship game? Derrick Henry standing next to Mark Ingram. Mark yes. Ingram's in the NFL. He looks like Derrick Henry's puppet.
Derrick Henry. I watched almost that whole game over the weekend, Tennessee, Indianapolis. And Derrick Henry, that was my biggest observation, was like, Derrick Henry looks like one of those monsters in high school who's not supposed to be there, except that he's in the NFL doing correct. It against one of the better defenses in the league in Indy.
And there are moments that Chris Carson looks the exact same way.
Yeah.
And he's not as tall. So it's not to the eye.
He hits it with just an extra gear.
It does. Yeah. It just does. It does.
That is fun to watch, man.
Yep.
That was really fun to watch. But you know, just give me more of that. He's a grown man. I hope he can stay healthy. I'm sure they were just easing him back in and all that. But when he gets the ball, there is a marked difference from anybody else who runs the ball on this team. So I think we know he's grown.
Okay. Can I give you a little think here?
Yeah.
We think, a little bit like Brian Griese on the broadcast, that the secondary should get better the more they play together and the possible return of Quentin Dunbar. That's what we think. Yet there's seemingly wide open receivers time and time and time and time again versus whatever the coverage, whether they play man or zone. It just feels like, and I've watched more NFL this year than ever before, obviously, watching tape and calling games and traveling around, so I'm just not quite as myopic in only a Seahawk view. If there is a next-gen stat that shows like a space of error around eligible receiver and Seahawk defender, there cannot be a team that has more error and more space than Seattle. I mean, so I want to believe that these guys play together and there's more communication and they're on the field together. And yeah, Quentin Dunbar is a guy that, you know, has made plays and double digit interceptions in this league. Like he can do that. And I want to believe the more they play together that it will tighten things up. And yet even last night against a very bad Philadelphia team, there are just guys open all over the place.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the solution is. You know, Shaq Griffin said they played a little bit more man yesterday. Well, yeah, I would hope so, because Philadelphia had no threat. I mean, their most explosive player was Goddard, whatever his name is. And, you know, he runs a 4.8. So, yeah, I would hope you play more man. But even in that man coverage, there are still guys just, golly, yeah, just free and open as much as anybody in this league.
Well, you mentioned that they had guys open. I will say then, one thing we know is that Carlos Dunlap has helped the defense.
Yes.
He's given them a pass rush. They look completely different since his arrival. And I know they got Jamal Adams back around the same. I mean, a bunch of things happened around the same time, but it just sure seems as if Carlos Dunlap has completely changed their ability to get pressure. He's made everyone else better.
That's it.
He lets Benson Mayoa exactly slide into the role he's supposed to be in.
Yep.
He lets Rasheem Green slide into the role.
Jaren,
right. All those guys kind of be what they're supposed to be instead of asking too much of them, because he is an actual pass rusher defensive end.
Yes. He actually collapses a pocket and forces a quarterback to step up. So there's Jaren and there's Puna. When there's no collapsing, when there's no air taken out of that pocket, which is what we saw for the first 5 weeks, It makes everybody look worse. And LJ Collier is looks like an athlete.
He looks good, by the way.
Yes.
Collier's had a really good at least the last 4 or 5. Kyle, you're gonna have to eat some words over there on Collier.
Like the next year.
He's playing well.
He's playing okay. He's a first round pick that was comped to Michael Bennett.
He's a late first round pick and he's playing well.
He's
for the first time over the last 2 weeks, he looks like an NFL player.
Okay, and if that's the bar for a first-round pick, then
I think he looks better than that. He's looked good. He had the safety. He's looked good. He's made plays.
He's flashed. Like he belongs on an NFL.
He's flashed.
Yes.
And that he has.
He's flashed, Kyle.
A time or two. So as Rasheem Green. Thank you, Rasheem Green. Second round.
No, he's fly. He's looked good.
Rasheem Green
third
had a great
round,
sack
third
last
round pick.
Week.
Anyway, all of that, though, sure seems to be due to the arrival of Carlos Dunlap, who's completely changed the defense.
Agreed. We think that Shadi and Russ cooked up so much more creativity this offseason, and the first month of the season was wide open. Remember that? Wide open in scheme, wide open receivers. The last month of the season, though, has sure seen like many of those plays are covered. Some of that creativity in the screen game, in the play action game, in the shot game, guys are covered up. Last night, I think a wonderful job by the broadcast crew talking about how, hey, here's the formation, and they know, you know, what's coming, and here's the rub routes that are coming, and they stay at different levels and actually cover them up, and they're not getting picked like they were early in the season. So, I want to believe that there's more in the take, you know, as far as creativity goes. And this isn't even a cooking conversation. This is just a X's and O's. And like, man, how about all that just dynamic stuff the first 4 or 5 weeks of the year?
How much of that has been the fact, and go back to what we said earlier, the offensive line hasn't been as effective as it was earlier. How related are those two things?
Very much so. Very, very much so. And just, you know, the trust and being able to call those deeper play action shots. And, you know, frankly as well, just the number of hits. Right. It's like these spread systems. This is all great on paper. And look at all these numbers. And you know, Mike Martz's quarterbacks for years and years and years. And look at all these numbers. And you look at all these advantages. And when we go empty and we get everybody out. But, yeah, we're getting our quarterback killed. But, you know, there's somebody free that's coming. And do I want my quarterback to keep getting hit time and time and time again? And those 26 knockdowns in 2 weeks for Russell. And even early in the year, when he's thrown all those touchdowns, you know, there's still some times that he's taken a bunch of contact. And over the course of a year, over the course of 9 years, is there come also a point where like, hey, man, you know, I'd love to protect. Aaron Rodgers last game was not sacked, was not hit. Aaron Rodgers has played 5 games this year where he's been sacked once. He's played games this year where he's not been hit at all. So, you know, that opportunity to protect your quarterback as well, I think it's a really, as tough as Russell is and as much as he doesn't flinch, I'm sorry, your body feels better. You're going to play better in November and December.
That's one of those things that we as fans probably don't think about. Just the cumulative effect of the quarterback getting hit. Because for us, he gets hit, he gets back up. And we're like, yeah, good, tough dude. He's back up and on his feet doing his thing. We don't really think about what that can do to their game planning over the course of a year.
That's right. And Russell just never really shows it. He never really flinches. Whenever Russell's done here in 5 years, 8 years, whatever it is, that run we're going to look back on and go, could you believe? I mean, how much did we just take that? Like Marshawn Lynch, a running back. Like Marshawn Lynch, you know, could play for game after game, season after season, year after year, right? I mean, and just in play the way he did. Like how in the world was that guy available? Carson can't play a month, unfortunately, right? I mean, in every year that he's out, and for year after year after year after year, Marshawn just did it. And, you know, I think when you don't have that, you have so much more respect for it. And whenever it's said and done with Russell, his just Iron Man durability, and on top of it, just not flinching, is just as remarkable a trait as his wizardry is.
But there are Larry Hill's trade-offs to that. I mean, yeah, you protect Aaron Rodgers, but he's throwing to Robert Tonyan, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and Alan Lazar.
Yep.
So,
There's always, everything has
trade-offs. I'll take Lockett, DK, and Carson.
You like that? Yeah, you think that's working? That's working out pretty well.
Like they can take David Bakhtiari.
And by the way, when healthy, their offensive line is good enough. It's really just about some of the scheming that might allow them to take some of those hits. I'll tell you, Brock, I know that DJ Reed looks a lot better returning kicks and punts. Oof. I also think he needs to take the baggy sleeves off. That's not a good look. If you want to try to be fast returning punts and kicks, like you can't be wearing the starter baggy sleeves
outside
from 1997.
Sleeves, he looks so much like Earl Thomas in his 29. Looks like he's shot out of a gun.
Those sleeves look ridiculous.
A little Byron Maxwell.
Throwback. Yeah, you can't wear those baggy sleeves like Byron Maxwell. That's not a punt returner.
No.
That's like a slow guy who like you're trying to hang on like at the end of his career at corner and he's doing the best he can playing with guile. Like you can't return kicks like that.
Yeah, you know what? It also kind of tangentially, David Moore did what I did when I started to flinch on taking like field goal snaps. Like I purposely built. Yeah, I purposely built a tick of blinking. So like I can't do this.
Can't do it.
Like I got the yips. I mean, I'd love to do this. I'd love to hold for you. No, I wouldn't. I really love to be a holder. No, I never will because I've got the yips.
Never going to be me.
And David Moore, I think, has shown them after like 3 or 4 returns, like, yeah, I don't like to do this. And on in route, like, nope, I'm not Debo Samuel. Nope, I don't want
First
this
of all,
kind
it
of
sounds
content.
Like he's hurt, though. I think David Moore is injured. I think he's playing hurt. I think that's part of it.
I think David Moore loves to run fade routes and in routes and slants.
Deep routes.
Let me do
he
all
loves
of that
the,
stuff.
Let him go. He's good on the go ball.
Yeah, let me do that. But return punts and kicks, it takes a different mindset. You
well,
be a little crazy.
Debo Samuel is so good.
Sheesh.
By the way. Debo Samuel is awesome.
More physical. Debo Samuel, DK Metcalf.
C, AJ Brown.
Ooh.
Hmm. All three. I mean, all three are just ridiculously physical. I've watched a lot of AJ Brown. I've watched a lot of the Titans this year. I really like them. I'm rooting for the Titans to go to the Super Bowl. I really, really enjoy the way that team plays. Their defense isn't great, but they're just fun to watch. AJ Brown just... People don't want to tackle him either. He's a wide receiver. Debo, him, and DK, all three of them.
Do you realize that Ole Miss team had Shea Patterson, Laramie Tunzel, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf? Actually, a running back that is a backup, I think, for the Colts.
Who's
as
the
well.
Coach of that team?
Was it Hugh Freeze, then Matt Luke?
Yeah, it was Matt Luke.
Matt Luke, she could fired or
he
something.
He already did.
Oh, okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, he's gone.
I don't
got
blame
Lane
him.
Kiffin in there now.
He had those two guys at wide receiver and he didn't win anything? Who was his quarterback?
Shea Patterson. Transfer from Michigan.
I don't know who that is, but okay.
Yeah. He was decent.
Brock said Shea Patterson. I thought he was some sort of linebacker. Sounds like a middle linebacker. They had Shea Patterson at middle linebacker? That guy kind of hit you. Yeah. All right. Anything else we think or know?
Yeah, let me give you one more because these poor guys don't ever get any credit. We know that in a balanced style that Pete covets and Pete loves, man, just balance, just complete the circle, right? Got to have that whole ring. The third phase of that has got to be a net positive. You can't be neutral in special teams. You can't lose special teams. Like if you're going to play this way and Russell's going to have a governor and you're going to take down a little bit of the risk and you're going to play a balanced style, then your special teams has got to be, you know, good. And if they're dominant, then you do have a chance to win 13 games. And Jason Myers has been phenomenal. Not missed field goal this year. Dixon is back to punting. You got guys that are covering. You got guys covering kicks and punts, you know, with their hair on fire. And you know, your buddy with the oversized suit, he loves it.
Cody Martin had a pretty big hit.
He Monday got psycho night. In his eyes. Yeah. He and Ben Burkervin, little William Wallace. Like, they love to do it. They love to go down and cover. So that phase of the game, man, just after having terrible kickers with Seabass and Blair Walsh and just going down that road, how should get the end? And even Myers and his inconsistency last year, the dude has been nails and phenomenal. And a big reason why that game was just, you know, felt like it was out of hand, even when it was a one score, an 8-point, an 11-point, because your kicker makes kicks and has missed, what, one PAT all season long? So kudos to Dixon. Kudos to Myers. Kudos to Schneider, the special teams coach, and that phase of the game that is owning that third phase.
If there's one other thing that I think and know, it's I know and think that my kids love snacks. They love them.
Like
they're
what,
completely
and
complete. No,
I think that's their father's influence.
They know
nice crispy treats.
All I did was tell them about snacks, and they are completely obsessed with him. It's so funny. Every time we watch. Snacks in there?
But when do they even see it? Like, they see him walking around, that big old 59 looking so
well, they ask for him. Like, where's snacks? Are
he
they on defense? Is
much.
Snacks in the
he
game?
Doesn't show himself.
What?
No, he does nothing.
He does some stuff.
Like,
he
that's why I'm saying this is their father's influence.
No.
Because you have... Oh, look, big snacks looking so good.
No.
Oh, he can't disclose his weight. You know that.
It has nothing to do with me. It's them. They really enjoy snacks.
No, it has to do with you. Huh? It, in a positive way. It's not a negative. It is your positive influence.
Have you watched any of that video that Snacks did for Thanksgiving dinner?
His Thanksgiving. Yes. He's feeling foods in a mystery
it's
box.
It's so freaking it's funny. So,
oh, Lord, that's mashed potatoes.
I'm looking to play it for you here, and I can't find it.
Big men. It's they're big, just giants. It's Andre the Giant, right? It's why he was just a beloved character in The Princess Bride. It was DJ Fluker the last few years. You just love big old dudes. And then how many kids does Snacks have? Like 12?
I don't know how many kids.
I think he's got seven.
I
seven
said
kids.
One of his highlights of being in Seattle is being away from his kids.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's tweeting the other day about his kids were mean to him. Like he'd come in and be like, "Dad, you didn't play well," or something like that. He's like, "What? I can take this from you." He was perfect, though. He guessed every single one of those foods just by feeling them. That's
not for me. You put your hand in a shoebox and are squishing Jello in there without being able to see it. Like, oh.
The best one is with the corn. I think that's corn. Oh, that's 1,000% corn. So funny. If you get a chance, go watch that.
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88.
Blue 88! Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Huard breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
All right, Brock, let's do a little Blue 88. I got a bunch of questions for you. We may go longer than three. We got a bunch of important questions for you. Let's start with this one. What's going on with Bobby Wagner?
This again?
Yeah, this again.
I mean, Pro Football Focus, number one linebacker.
Really?
Yeah.
Great play downfield, showing those wheels, breaking up a pass.
He doesn't look right, man. I'm sorry. Like, he just doesn't look like Bobby Wagner. Where are the big hits? Where are the, like, where's the explosion? What's going on with Bobby?
Yeah, I continue to see that. I don't know. Pro Football Focus doesn't. Many media members, Bob Condotta tweeting after that play that you referenced right there, Kyle, which he was beat on. And by the way, it hit his helmet. You know, so if in Greasy said it, if you know, Wentz just puts it out in front of him, it's a touchdown or a huge play. You know, and I thought most representative.
That wasn't him.
It.
Wasn't that Jordan Brooks
no,
on that
it was
one?
Him.
Well, it was Bobby Wagner getting downfield, way yep. downfield. Now Brooks was involved.
Brooks is the one on the PI. Okay, correct. Okay, got it.
Yes.
Now, Bobby did surpass to me, 100 tackles on the year
again. He did, and I'll just cut through it and say this. Like, the play, it's not my opinion. It's just here's the tape, here's the film, go watch it. It was a third down, and it's like a little like check down, and Bobby's out there, and Bobby's just kind of looking to, you know, kind of just take the runner down. And then in comes Jamal Adams like a cannonball across the line and just blows him up. It's a play that they replayed a couple times. Just listen to this. Listen to the hit that Jamal. And it was actually Bobby that was the first one on the scene that was much closer to it, that had the angle to it. And he just is not delivering those blows. Coming in on a totally free blitz and just kind of runs by Carson. I mean, just does not lay, you know, just does not lower the boom, right? That stopping power, that Brahma Bowl with him and Todd Gurley, right, at the 2-yard line, and here they come, and they're going to scrape, and bam! You know, there's just jaw pads exploding out of there. It's just not, you're just not seeing that. And that is what Lavonte David's doing at Tampa. That is what Kaiser's doing with the Rams. That is what Fred Warner, the best middle linebacker in the game right now. And that's not just me saying it. That's Jared Goff. That's opponents. That's people that, you know, as I cover these games, you know, he's the best one going because he's violent and he's physical. And those are just things that we're not seeing. Now, is some of that just, hey, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that until I have to. I'm not going to pull that out until January or February. Like, I'm 9 years into this league. I have how many tackles, Kyle? Thousands. Thousands. I'm a Hall of Famer. Like, I'm, and, you know, if you want to preserve me and you want me there every single week, a little bit of, frankly, you know, and I'm not comparing them, so I probably shouldn't even say Sean Alexander, but Sean was there, and he was available game after game for 7 seasons playing running back because he protected himself when he needed to. And maybe Bobby's saying, yeah, I'll let the young bucks go and do that. And I'm the cagey old vet that still makes my plays, that gets it done, that can finish tackles. But I don't need to go knocking dudes out. I'll let these other guys. I'll let Jamal, who wants his big contract. You know, you go hit that guy, and you go hit him hard, and let ESPN replay the sound of it. I'll just kind of be here to, you know,
but on that play,
be a steadying captain, leader, you know, voice and force.
Yeah, on that play, I'm going to make sure that he doesn't get the, like, 30 yards they need for a first down. I'm just here to catch him and make sure, don't be too aggressive, yeah, and make sure we don't get beat because that's the phase of the game we're in.
Yes.
But, yeah, it just doesn't, I don't know, just doesn't seem like Bobby.
Yeah, that's and I, you know, it's not a, oh, gosh, he doesn't have anybody in front of him because actually that D-line the last month has played good.
Well, maybe that's just the evolution of him at this age, and that's what maybe that's more of what they want from him. Play under control, don't make a mistake, we don't need you to make the huge hit, you know, stay available. Maybe that's just what they want.
Be there every week for us,
yeah,
be the steadying force
and he
is in the middle.
He
and
never
he's done
hurt.
All of that.
I mean, like, there's a lot of positive there, too. All right,
in
question,
the middle, we'll let Jamal Adams run around.
Question number two, speaking of linebackers, let's stay there. We got to see Jordan Brooks now for a few games, starting at that weak side linebacker, or sorry, the strong side linebacker position.
No, I think he's weak side. KJ's moved over to the strong side. So
really?
No, you're right.
Okay. Well, what do you think?
I think he looks exactly like Michael Kendricks. I think if you put Kendricks on that jersey, you would have no idea. Same exact body, same exact speed, same exact explosion, same exact just cut it loose and play free. I mean, he has been, that has been, of all of the different stories this year, of all of the positives, what you are getting out of this rookie class is remarkable and more than you've gotten in years and years and years and years. To the point where Salk said, rightfully so, I'm not counting on these guys for anything. I've learned my lesson. I've been burned. Stuck my hand in that cookie jar when I guessed wrong, unlike Snacks, who guesses right on everything. Like, I'm not doing it again. I'm not going to count on any of these rookies. And Damian Lewis, you can count on him. He's been in there every single week. He's played guard. He's played center. This kid, save for a month with a knee injury, has been in there. And he's absolutely looked the part, and he's felt the part, and he's had a presence, and he's running and hitting, and he's gaining valuable reps, and he looks much better than Cody Barton when he filled in last year, just kind of catching guys and catching blocks. This guy's delivering blows. So, yeah, I don't, honestly, when I watched him last night, and I think maybe some of it, because Kendricks played for Philly, like, man, if they put Kendricks on his jersey, I don't think you could tell the two of them apart. And that's a compliment for a former Pro Bowler and a really good linebacker in Kendricks before his injuries.
All right, question number three. How can Carson Wentz be that bad?
Yeah, he's gone through some of these peaks and valleys. And I remember a couple years ago going, geez, he's just broken. I mean, he couldn't throw a swing route. He had the yips. He had the same little blinking tick that I had. Like, he's just dropping back, and he's looking at the rush, and he's totally affected and thinking, man, he's broken. And then goes on a run at the end of last year where he looks like the MVP of the league and carries that whole team of vagabonds and nobodies into the playoffs before ultimately get knocked out against the Seahawks and not being able to finish that deal. And now he's kind of right back into that swoon. And just feeling the weight of expectation, the weight of that city that is brutal, even though there's no fans in the stands, it is still absolutely brutal on that position and on their athletes.
Or maybe it's just not very good.
I think he is good.
I don't think he is.
I have seen enough stretches and not a game. I mean, you've seen 30 games where he is good, where he makes plays that very few guys in this league can make. He's unbelievably
physical. I don't think he's that good. I really don't. And honestly, yeah, he is physical. He runs the ball well. And when he got mad and he got benched for a play and he came out there and ran somebody over, like, good for him. That's great. But did you see the first possession of the game? He had three open receivers and missed all three of them. It wasn't close. But you can't play quarterback in the NFL like that. That's not just pressure, man. That's a lack of accuracy. Like, he just doesn't have it.
He should go with Jalen Hurts, man. He does not have tremendous accuracy. Jalen Hurts has good luck. No accuracy.
Yeah, but Jalen Hurts is athletic, and he's a winner, and he's got all these other qualities. Like, just go give it a run and see what happens. I don't know,
Well,
man.
what they did was bizarro.
Wentz is atrocious.
What they did Monday night, and you come in and throw a play, that was just bizarre.
Made no sense. No sense at all. All right, there you go. That is Blue 88. By the way, you did mention...
That's all we got?
Well, I have some extra questions for you. They're just not going to be Blue 88 questions.
Oh, good.
I did find some snacks. You want to hear a little snacks with its corn?
Yeah.
Here you go.
It's off the top of my head, I want to say it's corn. Let me feel it for a little bit more. Hold on. Because this is definitely corn. It's corn. Yeah, 1,000% corn. I love corn, so I had better get that one. So I'm trying to think of what else is on the Thanksgiving table. Oh, goodness. That's mashed potatoes. That's mash.
Don't you just want to hang out with this dude?
Yes.
It all makes so much more sense now, the whole DJ Fluker snacks thing.
Yes.
I didn't know enough about snacks at the time,
yep.
But that stuff makes so much more sense now, doesn't it?
No question.
Ugh.
No
Those two
question.
In New York just having the time of their life.
They must have loved it.
How do we not get a reality show out of that?
Seriously, I would
Can
watch
you
that.
Imagine those two men walking into a steakhouse in New York? That it's steakhouse.
Like strolling to Peter Luger's. They're ready.
Yes.
Like, let's go.
Yes. What would you like? The porterhouse and the T-bone?
Give me some burnt ends. I'll take that Oscar style.
Unbelievable. Let's see. A couple other little questions for you, Brock. How can one team so consistently struggle to get plays in on time?
The Arizona Cardinals. It's amazing.
No,
the
I'm
Rams,
not talking about
it's
them.
It's amazing. They burn more timeouts. Bro, if you looked at burn timeouts, Seattle, not even close. Not even
It's not
close.
Even just the burn timeout. Green Sometimes they don't waste a timeout. Sometimes they just try to get the playoff and they screw it up. Yep. There was one in the game Monday night where Russ got out of the huddle because they clearly had 12 men there and he didn't want to get 12 men in the huddle. So he like ran away from the huddle like it was on fire. And then, you know, they got down to 1 second, ran a play that was a complete disaster. They've had a couple of picks when they're barely able to get the play. Like, why is it so hard to get the play call off?
I can't do it. I'm not doing it. I'm not going down that road.
Why?
Because I've now seen it. I've seen the light.
But why is it so hard for anybody to get a play call off?
There are way, way worse teams than Seattle.
Why is it so hard?
Because these play calls now, what is everybody trying to do? Everybody's trying to do what Aaron Rodgers can do, which Peyton Manning used to do. Peyton Manning did it kind of in a no huddle, though, and with all the check with me and let me have two plays. Let me have an advantage check. Let me get to all this stuff. Let me alert. Let me do all of this. It's not just, hey, I'm lining up and running dice right 32 belly. It is like three different calls and all the different scenarios and everything that you can get to and all the different checks, and it all takes a bunch of time.
That's not what it seems like, though, okay. Honestly. I mean, watching it because they're able to get that stuff in when they're decisive, it seems like there are times where they're just not decisive.
Well, there's times where you do just call the play, but then there's a
No, it seems like there's moments like, well, it's fourth down. What should we do? I don't know. Let's take 15 seconds to think about it and then call nine plays in the huddle. You can't do both.
No, you can't. Like, no, you can't.
Okay, I get it. Like, sometimes you want to call nine plays and you got to have your, you know, everything you just said and your check with me and fine. But not after you've taken 12 to 15 seconds to decide if you want to go for it.
Correct.
You can't do both of those
things. No, you can't do that. Nope. Gosh, and I miss those Mondays with Pete. So you could just say that right to him.
Pete, why is it like once you can't decide what you want to do, why are you then going with one of these, like, you know.
No, Mike, that's not it. So
it's like James Joyce wrote these plays. It's like Ulysses. Like, takes forever.
Mike, that's not it. Mike, that's not
no,
it.
No, that's not it.
You're like, no, Mike, we're 8-3. We're in first place in the division. Why are you coming at me like this? This was Jamal Adams last night. He was great.
I know.
He's used to being on the 0-11 Jets.
Right.
So being on a winning team that's still being criticized, he's not here for that.
But they're barely even being criticized.
I've learned real quick that there's always something wrong with the Seahawks.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh.
This is cranberry. That's cranberry. You can't defeat the snacks. You cannot defeat the snacks. 95% of the things that I don't like, I've never tried before. So I couldn't tell you how cranberry tastes, but it just doesn't look like it'll be pleasant. We've had cranberry, mashed potatoes, corn, green beans,
Ooh.
Come on, man. Hold on now. Y'all tricking me, because this could be a couple things. It could either be sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie.
Any guesses on which it is?
Pumpkin.
Now, the trick is to feel the texture.
There's a trick to this, by the way. If for some reason.
Now, luckily, I've been in this situation before.
There's a trick to knowing the difference between sweet potato and pumpkin pie when you're feeling it and not seeing it or tasting it.
I feel like I feel like you could dominate that.
I don't know.
No, that game right
put
there.
It between
I feel
your
like
fingers, because sweet potato has a very distinct feel. Oh my goodness! Dang, what is? It's pumpkin pie.
Yeah, you can't stump the snacks. Let's be clear. You cannot stump the snacks. So.
Kyle, can you find me? No, Mike, that's not it. Please.
No. No, we don't need to find that. Kyle's computer's not working, thankfully.
I can't. I would like to, but only Mike can play that.
Yeah.
So
I'm not
next Tuesday.
Find that. Yeah,
next no, whatever. Next week's podcast, you're finding me back. Okay. I just gotta hear.
Let's get out of here. I think we're done for
no,
the week.
Mike. Mike, that's not it, Mike.
Well, we'll get to see the Seahawks against another world beater next. So who do they have? The Giants or the Jets next? What's
no,
the difference?
Mike, that's not
Does it
at
matter?
Home,
what's
Daniel
the difference?
Jones is
that's not
out.
Okay.
That's not it at all.
Is Golden Tate playing for them still?
Yeah, he's back. His wife had gotten him in some hot water, complaining about his looks, his opportunities, but now he's back.
He's playing. I'd like to see Golden Tate. I always get excited to see Golden Tate back in the building. That should be kind of fun. All right, well, that's what we got. Seahawks are 8-3. They are in first place in the division. They're in second place in the conference. They are doing what they need to do. And sometimes it may be confusing, But you are what your record says you are. You're 8-3. We'll see you guys next week. Till then, hey.
Martin.
Hey, everybody.
Get to the chopper!